What's good, brothers and sisters? Welcome back to the Match Net Podcast. I'm driving here in the rain. Just driving in the rain. I love the rain. I feel a need to mention this, guys. When it rains, something giddy in me jumps up and I just become so enthusiastic. I love it. If I wake up in the morning and it's raining, I'm just like, oh yes. My first thought is, when can I go outside as soon as possible? Which is, I've noticed, is kind of strange. I think that the opposite reaction is typical for people. It's like, oh man, it's raining. I'm just like, where are my boots? Let's go outside. And so the kids are kind of feeding off my energy these days, trying to get outside. Anyways, so it's raining. I wanted to make a follow-up video episode for you guys on the idea of the last episode I did was Chunnelgook is now, Chunnelgook is today. I love this concept. Please watch that video if you haven't yet. But I wanted to double down on the emphasis on a kind of tangential, adjacent concept, which is along the same vein, God is now. God is experienced now. And I say this with emphasis because it's easy to be tempted to believe that I will experience God when I have the blessing, when I have children, when I have, am able to travel, or I'm able to be alone, or when I'm able to go out in nature. Or, and I'm not saying that's not how God is experienced. I'm saying that if we're delusioned into thinking that only when I experience something, then I'll experience God, we are missing the mark completely. It's a very, very subtle belief that the vast majority of people have, and I have had for many years, trust me, is that God is experienced when I'm on GPA, when I'm at a workshop, when I'm going to some program, and if only I could experience that again, then I would be happy, then I would be able to experience God. God is here. God is now. God does not exist in the past. Think about that. God does not exist in the past. God exists in the past in your mind, in your imagination, but God does not exist then. God does not exist there, in the future. God only exists now, here, presently. God is involved, perhaps, in the past and in the future. God is involved in your story, but the existence of God, the ability to experience God, you will only ever experience in the present moment. You will only ever experience God presently. Even if that happens years from now, even if, let's say, you get married, you get blessed, you have that family, you're able to look at your child, your newborn baby, which I, God willing, hope happens to you, and you're able to feel the depth of God's heart. Even in that instance, you will only be experiencing God in the present moment. It will only be in the present moment. And so it is ludicrous to believe that God designed us, the universe, to only experience God in certain circumstances. But as we know, the essence of God, Heavenly Parent, transcends time, space, understanding, logic, analyzing anything. God transcends all of that. So why can you not experience God today? God is here. God is here with you right now. I had an experience this week, a mystical experience, a spiritual experience I want to share with you guys. That for me was probably one of the most mind-opening experiences for me, and it was funny and beautiful. All right, let me tell you. I was deep in prayerful meditation one evening. It was a Monday evening, and I was just praying about life, praying for people, thinking about individuals, praying for my children, my wife, as I do, and praying for peace and understanding, wisdom to see from God's perspective. And then I had a prayer in my heart, which was, I said, God, I want a sign. I was like, I want a sign that I'm being reciprocated with. There's some reciprocity in our relationship. I want a sign that something is being heard. I want a sign. And I was very specific. I said, tomorrow, I want a sign, an unexpected sign. I said, it doesn't have to look in any way that I think it has to look. It doesn't have to be spectacular. It doesn't have to benefit me. You know, money doesn't have to fall from the sky, or I don't have to, you know, whatever, wake up jacked like Spider-Man or anything like that. I was like, an unexpected sign. And the day went by. I was looking around. I was like, I want to be open to signs. And I was like, maybe that's it. No, that's not it. Is that it? No, that's not it. And then in the evening, I went outside. It was very cold, freezing temperatures this evening, this particular evening. I went out to my hammock to sit on the porch, look up at the stars, as you know I do. Almost every night that it's clear, I will go out and look at the stars. And then this particular night, my son, Kojin, came out to sit next to me. And it's cold, so this is unexpected for him to come out in freezing weather, right? And he comes up next to me. He's got no jacket on. He's just in his t-shirt and his pants. And he's like, he was holding me, right? And we're looking at the stars together. We don't say anything. And then I break the silence and I say, you know, Kojin, I look at the sky almost every night at the stars. And I have never seen a shooting star. And before I finish the sentence, beaming across the sky is this white shooting star. It's like, and me and Kojin look at each other like, did you see that? I was like, Kojin, did you see that? And he's like, yeah, I saw it. And I was like, that's God. That's the sign. I told him right there and then I said, that's the sign that something is listening to us. Something is with us, that God is with you, your ancestors, good spirit world, angels are with you. And I didn't expect such an obvious sign, but there is no chance in all miraculous universes that on the particular night that I was looking for a sign, that I was being having reciprocity with spirit world, on a particular day, on a particular night, even though every night for years I've been going outside on most nights to look at the stars, looking at the sky for something, usually for shooting stars. And the moment I said to him, I said, I come out here almost every night and I've never seen a shooting star, before I finished the sentence, pew, streamed across the sky. And of course we made wishes together. He made his wish, I made my wish. We don't know what each other's wishes are. And it was a special experience like that. And I share this with you guys because sometimes we just need affirmation that there is something that's holding our hand, that there is a entity, a being that is stringing us along in life, that is holding our hand, that wants to be part of our lives, that wants to give us blessings, that wants to support us, that wants to initiate the passion, the fire that you have in your heart, the things that you want in your life, that you, your original mind wants, not the superficial mind that wants this or that, the deep heart desires that you have, all of those things, if they're with good intention and good motivation and a good pure heart, of course God's listening, spirit world's listening, but you don't know what to expect. You can't expect what it to look like. You can't expect what the signs will look like. And for me, it was an affirmation that something's listening, but also that there are probably more signs than we think. We just don't stop to pay attention. There are probably more subtle, unexpected, God-given designs that are all around us. The people that you meet, the things that you see, that you don't notice as signs from God because you are too analytical to say with some curiosity, maybe that's divine. Maybe that's spirit world. Maybe that's an angel. Maybe that's something beautiful. But because you don't pay attention to it, you don't notice it. And the more we pay attention to things, the more we notice it. We appreciate it. Music, food. If you understand the work that goes into a meal, that goes into composing a song, you will understand the appreciation you're able to have for that thing. You will notice it more. You will notice the subtleties of the songs or music that you're listening to. You'll notice the subtleties of the spices that are used in a particular dish because you learn to appreciate the process that it went through to be what it is. But if you just stop and pay attention, life is more miraculous than you think. More miraculous than you think. Just think about sleep, for example. Just dreaming. A lot of people dream. Some people, actually, I think everybody dreams from what I understand, but a lot of people don't remember it. Dreaming itself is something that people write off very quickly as just subconscious BS that the mind is organizing. I will implore you to take a step back and just take a moment to realize that even the fact that your mind is able to subconsciously organize things, even if it's just scientific, you know, mumbo jumbo and there's no spirituality, even that, that's pretty miraculous that your brain can do that. And we don't appreciate that kind of stuff. We don't appreciate a rock. Father said at one point, you can look at a rock for thousands of years in spirit world and be enticed by a single rock because you can understand its complexity. You can look at a tree, look at a falling leaf, look at the rain. I mean, my goodness, guys, Right now, there's water coming from the sky. There's water, as I'm sitting in this car, there's water coming from the sky. Water, the same water that we drink, the same water that's in the ocean, the same water that's growing the earth, is falling from the sky. Miraculous. And beyond that, there's infinite space and stars beyond comprehension. The number of stars beyond comprehension, and the closest star to us besides the sun would take a billion years to walk to. It's fantastic. The closest star to us that you can see with your eyes besides the sun, something you can actually see, if you wanted to walk to it, it would take you 1 billion years, 4 light years, just over 4 light years away. That's trillions of miles, I might add. And you can see it with your eyes, and it would take you a billion years to walk to it. That's crazy. Most of the things I can see, I can walk to maybe in a few minutes, right? Maybe. That's mind-blowing. But why don't we stop to ask this? You know those helicopter things that fall from the sky? I don't know, in North America, we have these trees that produce these, I don't know, we call them helicopters. They're little seeds that fall from the trees, and they're I think from pine trees actually. They look like tadpoles. They're just little heads with little tails, and they spin, and they spin, and they spin, and they just kind of twirl around like helicopters and go around. It's like, how can you look at them and be like, did God not just make that for children to just be in awe of creation, to just wonder why would a thing like that develop? Look at animals, right? There are butterflies that look like owls. Goodness sake. There are butterflies that have the eyes of owls on their wings. The eyes of owls, okay? And that's just scratching the surface of how incredible the animal kingdom is. So my point is, guys, you have more signs. I'm not some spectacular mystical person that gets these great signs from the universe. No, they're everywhere all the time. You just have to stop the busy noise of your mind, of your analytical self. Just stop and appreciate life and learn that God is now. The God that you want to experience, the God that loves you, the God is that existence that has organized all of this for us to experience, that God is within grasp from you right now, today. And like I've said before in the other episode, if you can't grasp that and experience God today, chances are you probably never will. Chances are. You're going to have to go through a lot of pain and difficulty and self-induced suffering in order to learn the lesson that the thing that really matters in life is your ability to experience God's love in your life and pass that on to the other people, and how much of your time and your attention and energy is given to that. I don't know. Maybe a lot. I hope a lot. But I know that if you look at the news, if you look at social media, if you look at anything really around us, most places, there's overwhelming evidence that our cultural collective attention is on money, sex, food, status. That kind of stuff. Like, seriously, look on your feeds. Look on your feed, social media. Unless you're a brilliantly pure person, which I hope you are. I hope to God you are. Chances are your feeds on any media platform are feeding the algorithms are feeding a fallen nature in you that's probably going to lend towards seeking out validation in status and external things, which are fantastically important at times, but there are times where you have to stop putting your attention on that, jump ship from that, and start your own ship. You have to jump ship from following that influencer, that podcaster, or me. You have to jump ship, start your own ship, and say, I'm heading in this direction. God, I hope you're with me. I'm gonna get my family, get my wife, my husband, my spouse, my children, and I'm gonna go in this direction because that's where God's calling me to go. And at some point in your life, you're going to have to jump ship from where everyone is telling you you have to go, and there's some point where you're gonna have to go against the grain and take your own life into your hands. It's going to have to happen eventually, so why not let it happen already? This is like a motto that I play in my mind a lot. One is, if I can't experience God today, I probably never will. The other one is, if I'm going to experience something someday, I might as well experience it now. So, for example, the tendency in life is that the younger we are, the kind of more stress-free and happy and joyful we are, like children, for example, And then there's a massive decrease in happiness levels when people are like 30s, 40s. And then there's an increase again when people hit their 60s, 70s, 80s, when they're nearing end of life generally, and they are faced with things like mortality, death, love, like what's really important in life. And so my thinking is like, right now I'm entering, statistically speaking, I'm entering the most unhappy time of my life for the average 30, 40 year old, right? And so my thinking is that eventually I'm going to be an 80, 90 year old person, an older person that's facing death. And I'm not going to care about all the stuff that my peers are caring about. I'm not going to care about money. I'm not going to care about, and I'd be willing to give up everything just to experience love if I had never experienced it at that age. I'm not going to care about anything external of this world, of the material world. And so my thinking is that if I'm going to be that eventually, I might as well start feeling that now. That's it. That's what I'm focusing on. And there's a biological reason, right? Probably an ancestral reason as to why our brains are very focused on the external world around us. And as we age, we realize more and more that those things are no longer threats. But we live in a time where the majority of the threats that we perceived growing up, ancestrally speaking, historically speaking, and developing, I'm trying not to say evolving because that triggers a lot of people, but developing as humans, according to God's design, a lot of the things that were perceived threats are no longer threats to us. And so our brains are constantly trying to get us in a fight or flight survival mode, and our emotions and our home hormones are trying to get us there, where in reality, they're not perceived threats. And I think this is the coming of the age. I think this is Chonoguk. This is the era we live in, and that we can actually experience true happiness and bliss and spiritual, divine awakening as God intended it for us, because we're able to focus on the internal. And we don't have to focus on the external anymore, even though our bodies want to, even though our fallen nature wants us to, even though the media wants us to, even though your parents probably want you to. Everyone is screaming. Your teachers from a very young age have been screaming in you, subtly or obviously. My friend, boy, girl, your number one priority in life is to get educated so that you can get a job, so that you can make a living, so that you can crush it in life. That's what's been ingrained in children, especially here in the West, from very young age. Your most important thing that you do with your time, your attention, your energy, is you have to get a good education so that you can get a good job, so that you can hustle, so you can make it in life, so you can make more money than all your peers, so that you can be happy. That's been ingrained in us. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that it's foolish to assume that that's the correct way to live, and to ignore the 99.9999% of reality that is not material, that is not success, that is not hustling, that is not making money, that is not getting an education. If we choose to ignore that stuff, we'll be left in the dust, eternally speaking, because we'll be confused perpetually confused, not just in your lifetime, but throughout your entire existence in the spirit world. But your father has talked about this concept that you live the spirit world that you had while you are on earth. You bring with you the heaven or hell that you experience on earth. There is no dichotomy, binary heaven or hell line that you must cross or not cross. There is a continuum, a spectrum of hell and heaven that you're bringing into your life, because that is what you breathe on earth. The love you experience on earth is what the love that you will experience in spirit world. The love that you don't experience on earth will suffocate you in spirit world. It will suffocate you. And it's not just when you die, by the way. It's tempting to think like, you know what? I'm just going to live my life and enjoy life. And then when I'm in my 90s, then I'll start doing the internal work that Benji's talking about. Then I'll start doing the self-reflective spiritual work. Tempting to think like that. I know. But you don't realize that the way you live, if you choose to live an external focused life right now, it will have serious ramifications on your life currently, because you will be stressed. Just look at the stress epidemic in our world. Look at the heart disease that exists. Look at the obesity. Look at the unhappiness, the depression, the loneliness. This is a result of us not focusing on what truly matters, but focusing on the stuff that Satan wants us to focus on. This is the result of not keeping God in mind. This is the result of ignoring God's heart. And I understand. I get it. I get it. But we don't have to live like that. We don't live in that era anymore. Father and mother have already proclaimed Chonalguk. They both have. Firmly established Chonalguk. Firmly. So why does that mean we can't experience that in our own lives? Why does that mean we can't experience peace? Despite the challenges, despite the ups and downs, the difficulties, despite the world and what's going on in your family and the world and your couple and your life, despite all that, whatever, you know, habits or secrecy you're experiencing in your life, why can't we experience Chonalguk despite all that? Why not? Why the heck not? Okay, I'm going to be picking up my daughter now from school. I love you guys. I hope you know that. Please share this with one person if you want to. If you don't want to, then don't do it. I love you anyways.